Hi, I'm Mike Sklenz, and this is Nintendo World Report's Connectivity Podcast, episode 125, I've Got to Run. We've got three segments for you this week. First up, Alex and Zach go over the news and answer some listener mail. Then we've got an interview with Seren McNulty of Four Corner Games, creator of I've Got to Run, coming soon to Wii U. And finally, Neil and Donald break down the NWR March Madness tournament. Enjoy the episode.
Hey everybody, welcome to a brand new segment of Nintendo World Report Connectivity. I'm your host for this segment, Alex Kulafi, and joining me for a segment focused on news and a little bit of listener mail, Zachary Miller.
Just like old times.
All right, so we have three stories, all of them equally or potentially equally interesting, and a couple of decent letters. The big news and the newest news are the NPDs for February 2014. The February 2014 software sales for both Nintendo 3DS and Wii U rose above February 2013 sales thanks to both DKC Tropical Freeze and Bravely Default. Wii U software sales were 180% higher than software sales of the previous February. 3DS software sales were 25% higher. Tropical Freeze sold 130K. Bravely Default was top 10 of the month overall, even counting all the multiple SKUs, digital and retail combined, 200K units. Pokemon X and Y, 130K, which that didn't rank, obviously. And based on Nintendo's statements that hardware sales were up 25% over the previous February, NeoGAF basically figured out that the Wii U sold around 82.5K this month.
All right. See, 82,000 people were waiting for Donkey Kong.
Well, here's the thing. Donkey Kong had been on shelves, at least by the time this closed, for 8 days.
Oh, okay.
Which makes that 130K a little more impressive.
Yeah, it does.
So hopefully, maybe the March sales will see a little more Donkey Kong sales.
Yeah.
What do you take away from all this? I guess we should separate it into Wii U first. So the Wii U seems to be doing better. It's obviously not doing good. But Donkey Kong seems like it's going to pad out the Wii U library sales-wise for at least a few months.
I would hope so, because isn't it a few months till the next game we get?
Yeah, May is Mario Kart, which leaves 3 months with nothing other than NES
God.
Remix 2.
That hurts. Now,
yeah, it's going to be another Wii U drought. I think the only difference between this year's drought and last year's drought is that the games that are actually coming out are better games than the ones last year.
Yeah.
Because there was Game & Wario, and then there was LEGO City Undercover. I didn't play either, but I can tell Mario Kart and Donkey Kong are probably better games than both of them.
I agree. LEGO City's actually really good, but it's not brand name cachet for a Nintendo system.
Sure.
And let's be real, those load times are game-breakingly bad.
Are they really?
Oh my God.
Speaking of load times that are so bad, apparently people don't like the Donkey Kong load times that much either. I have a digital copy.
Oh, I've heard that.
I haven't had it that bad. But some people are reporting load times of like 20, 30 seconds.
Oh, that's 20, 30 seconds would be a blessing in LEGO City.
Sounds like Mod Nation Racer's load time.
Oh my gosh, yeah. Oh, flashbacks there.
PTSD.
PTSD, even on Vita. Even on Vita, they had bad load times.
Yeah, I would chalk that up to the developer. Like, were minute-long load times for three-minute races.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Brutal.
But the Wii U sales seem to indicate that it's a steady increase going up a little. Do you think this is going to continue for the Wii U, or do you think it's going to straight-up drop off by April until Mario Kart comes out?
I think it's that one, because people just don't have a lot to look forward to until Mario Kart, right?
Right.
I mean, yeah, what I'm saying is the people who bought a Wii U for Donkey Kong have a good backlog of games to get, digital and otherwise. But the people who did not buy Donkey Kong, didn't buy a Wii for Donkey Kong, they're probably waiting for Mario Kart.
Yeah. And if they're not waiting for Mario Kart, they're waiting for Smash Bros. And who knows when that's coming out. So what do we got here? We got Mario Kart in May, and we got Smash Bros. Presumably in November if it comes out this year.
Yeah.
Do you think there's going to be more than one surprise E3 game that's going to be snugged up against that?
Dude, there better be. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I'm thinking whatever Miyamoto's IP is going to be is what's going to go there. And then maybe they'll shimmy, not a Bayonetta 2, or not an X. Maybe a Yoshi yarn. Maybe that.
Yeah, whatever happened to that game?
Hopefully coming soon. Hopefully to go against the bad buzz Yoshi's New Island has been getting.
You know, real quick about Yarn Yoshi, it's just such a weird thing to continue development on that game because Kirby's Epic Yarn just came out not recently, but you know, it's immediately familiar. And then mm-hmm. Yoshi's Island 2 came out. So it's like, we just got a Yoshi game and we just kind of got a Yarn game. So when that screenshot date, what, like a year ago, debuted, I thought, this is really strange.
Yeah, and it really was just screenshots and I think maybe a tiny bit of footage with no music attached, maybe.
It was like proof of concept.
Yeah. I am hoping that when Nintendo shoves out a Direct middle of next month, that game is one of the big highlights.
Yeah, I just hope for, I want to see something, you know, I want them to say something like, oh, we've actually got, you know, this download only Metroid game coming out today, you know, it's got to be something good like that, because, I mean, you're right, it's till May. I mean, once Mario Kart comes, I'm going to play the hell out of it, but May, dude, that's when Godzilla's coming out.
The Wii U can't compete.
Cannot compete.
Okay, so we also got the 3DS stuff. Not too much interesting outside of the fact that Bravely Default charted.
I'm like really shocked about that, but it's a good game.
Mm-hmm. It did. I didn't play it. I believe you, but it did much better than Fire Emblem, or I guess enough better. Which is
yeah, that's surprising too, because Fire Emblem like has a fan base already,
right?
And Bravely Default is a completely new IP, but on the other hand, Bravely Default is basically Final Fantasy.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure that cachet brought in more people.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it definitely also feeds into the Final Fantasy fan base a bit. I think some of those people are swarming towards Bravely Default too.
Yeah.
Because you pretty much can't hear the name of that game without hearing Final Fantasy.
No, and especially once you start playing it, it's clearly Final Fantasy.
Excellent. All right, so next up, Club Nintendo March games, available through April 6th on Nintendo 3DS, Kid Icarus, Myths and Monsters.
We have it.
Is 150 coins. The DSiWare title Number Battle is available for 200 coins. And for 200 coins, Wii U owners can get the Wii U Virtual Console version of Yoshi, the original puzzle game. And Bonsai Barber is available through the Wii Shop channel for Wii U and Wii owners for 250 coins. That Kid Icarus is a little tempting.
It's actually not a bad game. I have it. It's better than the original. Not a lot
it
better.
Seems easier.
But it's better. Yeah, it's easier.
Well, maybe more accessible, too, is the bigger thing to take away.
Yeah, although the dungeons still blow.
I believe it. It's just... when I briefly played it a long time ago, I just recalled the platforming not being as demanding.
Yeah, that's true. It's not. But it's, you know, it's kind of one of those old Game Boy games where they were clearly trying to make the NES game on a Game Boy. Mm-hmm. And it works for what it is. I actually really like, for some reason, I really like the Kid Icarus 3D Classic, even though it's basically a straight port, because the controls are better.
You think that makes all the difference?
I do. I mean, it's still not a great game, but...
It's an interesting game.
Like, it is. A very interesting game.
It justifies its own existence.
Yeah, there you go.
Anything else? Number Battle? Yoshi?
No,
Bonsai
God,
Barber?
No. Yoshi is awful. Oh. Yoshi's Cookie would be better.
Did Yoshi come out on the Ambassador program?
Yep.
I don't think it did.
Oh, it did. I've got it on my 3DS right now.
Oh yeah, that's with the egg, and then you collect the
little monsters like Goombas or
yeah.
squids or whatever.
Yeah, it's I'm sure it's good to someone. I'm sure that just needs like an NES remix.
There you go.
Tutorial to justify itself. Like, I'm sure there's a good game in there somewhere. I just haven't played it yet.
Exactly.
Okay. And last up, Yoshi's New Island reviews are live. It had a 63 Metascore as of this morning.
Hey.
I gave it a 6. Don gave it a 7.5. There were a handful of scores over 80, but most were in the 4 to 7 range. Lots of criticism.
That 4 was brutal. Music.
There were more than 1-4, I think. There
was really?
The Edge 4, which was the most prolific, and a lot of people were upset about. But, no, it's... That game's getting scores all over the board, which is interesting.
Yeah, it is.
But a lot of criticism towards the music, lots of criticism of the really low difficulty, lots of criticism for bland bosses and level design. Some people like it. Don likes it a reasonable amount. Neil recommends it. I think Patrick Klepek, I was watching Bomb in the AM today, and he was talking about it like, basically, the game feels obligatory. Like they're just... They're making another Yoshi's Island game for the sake of making a Yoshi's Island game. And they're basically trying to follow all the beats the best they can. And he described the art style as like an attempt at the crayon look that doesn't totally fail, but it doesn't have any of the personality of the original game. And I think that's pretty interesting.
Does that game just look better in motion? Because in screenshots, it looks awful.
It does. Here's what I'm going to recommend. If you have time to go on the eShop, look at the 3D trailers of the game, specifically one from E3 last year. I think it's like 6/14, 2013 or something. The game looks a lot better and you can see a more realistic version of the game.
Okay.
From that point of
view. I'll do that. You know, it's the weirdest thing. I'll probably get this just because when Yoshi's Island on SNES is like one of my favorite games of all time. And then I really, you know, there was a lot of hate for Yoshi's Island DS, basically for the same reasons. Like, it's a little graphically not as good, and it's basically the same game. I didn't care. It's just more Yoshi's Island. So that's kind of how I feel about reading these reviews, because, like, across the board, the criticism has been, it's just Yoshi's Island again. And I'm like, all right, whatever.
I think the interesting thing is that a lot of people, and I will include myself in that group, would call out the new Super Mario Bros. Games for releasing too soon after one another.
Oh, yeah.
And being too iterative. And I'm not going to say that's not true. It absolutely is true. But it's interesting that it's been like 7 or 8 years since the last Yoshi's Island game.
Yeah.
And that's not enough.
That's not enough time.
It's just another fucking Yoshi's Island game.
I think I wonder if part of the problem is that Yoshi's Island is an ambassador game, so everyone just played it.
Maybe. I feel like if people like the game enough, they would want to play more.
Yeah, exactly. That's kind of how I feel. Like, I'll probably get it just because, like I say, hey, Yoshi's Island, whatever.
Yeah, it recreates the gameplay of Yoshi's Island perfectly, and like it feels like a Yoshi's Island game, but it's a lot easier than the original Yoshi's Island, and the level design isn't quite there, especially the boss design. All the bosses are 3-hit kills, basically.
That sucks. You know, your comment about the music in your review made me sad, too.
Yeah, it doesn't do a good job of hiding the fact that it's all the same theme.
Yeah.
That's my big problem.
The kazoo. Aye.
Yeah. You ever wonder, like, if that statute of limitations just doesn't exist on a game being iterative?
Thinking about that today when I was drafting up a Nerds and Men. Like, certain games, you know, we all say we want a sequel to be different. We want it to be iterative and innovative. But then, you know, like, people love Mario 3D World. It's the same game. People love New Super Mario Brothers U. They say, like, oh, this is the best version of New Super Mario Brothers. And so if you change it too much, I think people freak out. Like, remember when people freaked out about Metroid Prime? And then and then after Other M came out, people freaked out about that because it was different. So I think it's just kind of a weird balancing act where you got to keep enough of the past iteration, but change just enough so it, it's really hard to say. And I think it's a different rule with different franchises. Like Mario can get away with being the same game. We give him shit, but mm-hmm. but we still go out and buy it, right? But I think a game like Yoshi's Island, which was so revolutionary on the Super Nintendo, it was so different. I think people must expect that.
Maybe the trick is to basically keep all of the things that were great in the original game. Like Yoshi's Island, the egg throwing feels amazing. The level exploration is amazing. But basically keep those things in, make them better, and then change everything else that isn't the best part of the game.
Yeah, sure.
Well, and by the best part, I mean the entire gameplay. So it's still a Yoshi's Island game.
Right.
Just like instead of making six worlds, why not eight worlds? Why not four worlds that have 20 levels in them? I don't know.
Or don't do the mole transformation because it's terrible.
That was only like one level in the original.
It was awful.
But sometimes I think about that because Donkey Kong Country Tropical Freeze, sequel to DKCR, which is one of my favorite platformers. The reason why I like that game so much is because it does change a lot of things that aren't the core gameplay.
And it does. Like, it really does.
Like, have you been playing it?
Oh, you're talking about Tropical Freeze.
Oh, well, we can talk about... In fact, Returns can follow the same principle.
Yeah, Returns I played a good chunk of, and it changed... You know, it was very different, I'd say, from Donkey Kong Country.
Right, but it's still
in good ways, but it was still Donkey Kong Country.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, 3D World, even though I'm sure I couldn't win a fight saying I didn't like that game, the reason why I didn't like it is because the thing I love about 3D Land is how fast-paced and how short and how, like, Mario 3-like those original levels were. And 3D World scraps that for longer, more
multiplayer levels.
Right, which is what I didn't like about it.
Yeah. That's why I'm not buying it.
You're right. It's all a balancing act.
Yeah. It's weird. Okay. I think it really does. People have different standards for different series.
Maybe Nintendo will give Yoshi's Island the attention it deserves next time.
Yep. With Yarn.
Maybe. I hope so. Like I didn't love Kirby's Epic Yarn. Hopefully Yoshi's Yarn does it for me.
You know, you could pretty easily, I'm being cynical, you could pretty easily replace Kirby wholesale with a Yoshi because mm-hmm. they would have the exact same moveset.
Transformations too.
Yoshi's Epic Yarn.
Yep. All right, so we got a couple of letters. That was some decent news.
Yeah, I like that.
Kitim 89
Kentucky
asks,
Tim.
Oh, Kentucky Tim.
Yeah.
He didn't do any, hey guys, he didn't do any love the show. He just asked like five questions straight out. And I respect how direct he is.
Let's rattle them off.
Would the developers of Bravely Default be the perfect choice to make a remake of Final Fantasy VI for the 3DS?
Probably. I don't know. Never played VI.
All right, so we might not have too much to add to that one.
Get Johnny on the phone.
Would Platinum Games be a good choice to make a Star Fox game?
This is something we've all said before, yes.
I think, and I was thinking about this recently, so Retro started a new project. It's definitely not going to be Donkey Kong, and I'm guessing it's probably not going to be Metroid.
Yeah.
Because the way they were saying it was like, maybe we'll do Metroid one day. I have a feeling that there's a chance that Star Fox might be the series they're bringing back.
Dinosaur Planet 2.
Maybe it'll be good this time. I think there's room for a good Star Fox game on foot with dinosaurs.
I agree. I completely agree.
Like, there's room for the Star Fox franchise to go in that direction.
That game just hasn't been made yet, but I agree.
Should there be a sequel to House of the Dead Overkill for Wii U?
Yeah, why not? At least they should bring out the HD remake, maybe digitally. I'd play it.
Did you play the original?
I love the original.
That's good.
I love it to death.
It's that's one of those vulgar for the sake of being vulgar, but pretty fucking funny too, mm-hmm. right?
Oh yeah,
that's one of those games. I respect that. What is your wish list for the 3DS successor? I guess this is a loaded question, so just name a couple of preferred features, I guess.
Well, keep it the size of the XL.
Okay.
I
agree.
Let's get a second analog nub on there.
Mm-hmm.
Because why like wouldn't maybe, you at this point?
Maybe room under the face buttons?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Make it like an Xbox 360 controller or something.
So, yeah.
Yeah. And then, you know, ditch the 3D because who cares?
Oh, I would keep the 3D. I think hopefully they keep it optional and hopefully they keep it next time around.
Yeah. If it's optional, I can deal with it.
I want games to look way less jaggy next generation. Because Donkey Kong Country Returns, it's a great port, it's a great game. It looks like shit on the 3DS XL.
Oh, yeah, that's why I haven't bought it. Also, it's I already have it.
But yeah, that's probably my biggest beef with the 3DS. Some things look insanely amazing. Like, I still think back to 3D Land, how it had that Bowser Tower.
Yeah.
Right before you fight him, and it's like it's got the slick rain on it.
And the and Resident Evil Revelations still looks amazing on 3DS.
Even on the XL, that game still looks great.
Oh, yeah. Kid Icarus looks great.
But just make the image a lot sharper.
Yeah.
Just
HD-ify it.
If you're not going to HD it, make it look a tiny bit better than the Vita does.
That OLED.
Yeah. I hope they go OLED next time. I have a feeling they're going to make it as cheap as possible.
Yeah.
But maybe OLED will be cheap by then.
I hope so. Sony's already getting out of the OLED game.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because with the Vita 2.
Yeah, the Slim. Vita 2K. Getting rid of OLED, which makes me sad.
Anything else you can think of?
Let's make the screen so that a weird line, vertical lines, do not appear on the top screen. That would be awesome. That's starting to happen on my 3DS now.
So you have an original, right?
I have it happened on my original 3DS like right away, but now it's starting to happen on my XL.
Is it scarring the top?
It's like, I don't know. It's only on the right side, but it's like the barest hint of a vertical line is bugging me. It's driving me nuts and it won't rub off. And I'm just going to get a new 3DS XL. And transfer everything. Maybe the Yoshi one. I really like that.
Yeah, it's a good-looking 3DS.
It is.
Okay.
But that's all.
Hopefully that answers your question a little.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Here's one more thing. There was that patent a long time ago for the 3DS to have this camera thing where you can actually like use a stylus on the touch screen.
Oh, yeah.
On the top screen, I mean. Do you remember that?
Oh, on the top screen, no.
Yeah, like it was like almost AR, like the 3D on the top, like you poke at it as if you were using the PlayStation Eye.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah, throw that in there.
That'd be a good, like, differentiating feature.
It would.
Okay. Next up, should Nintendo have its version of PlayStation Plus for the 3DS and I guess stretch this to Wii U?
What they should do is they should continue the Digital Deluxe program past its current expiration date of this year, and they should add 3DS to it so that when I buy, you know, Yoshi's Island 3DS, I get credit for that too. I mean, I don't think they need to do like a PlayStation Plus where you get a free game every once in a while. They just need to keep up with the Digital Deluxe program, but include 3DS so that you are getting a free game once in a while, but You know what I'm saying?
Yes. No, absolutely. It's just extend the DDP, but charge for it after 2015.
Sure. It's so weird to me that they're stopping it at all.
There's a chance of it continuing, I bet.
Okay.
I don't know that for a fact, but I bet. Anyways, I think although I would love to see a free indie game or something every single week and maybe a cartridge game every couple months, I just want them to bring over the sales from PlayStation Plus.
Yeah.
Because there are a lot of 3DS games I want to buy, like Crashmo, but they never go on sale for more than $2 off.
True.
And I don't want to pay $6 for a game like I'll probably like.
Right.
Like, it's just, it's Sony makes the sales so fucking good on PS3, on PS Vita, and probably eventually the PS4, that it's hard to go to anything else that's lesser than that or Steam.
That is very true.
I just want Nintendo to compete a little more in the online space.
Yeah, me too.
All right, and lastly, will Nintendo bail out of the console business or learn from their mistake for the next home console? I'd say no. No for both. They're not going to learn, and they're not going to bail. Mick Flem asks, and this is our last and second question to him. It's actually a shortened version of his last name. It's not Boogers. I actually had to look at that. I was like, hey, there's going to be a story behind it. Turns out there was. So as we've noticed, there's a lack of VC support. I would guess we'll never see the N64 games hit the VC, and a handful will be re-released in HD. What do you guys think is going on with the VC? Are they holding back for a subscription service, or just flat out not interested in the service? Enjoying the show and appreciate the editing so I can sometimes skip new business games. I want 100% spoiler and impressions free.
Oh yeah, I Thanks. Do that.
I don't blame them.
I don't think they're holding out for a subscription service. It would have happened by now. It would have happened with the release of the Wii U. I really don't think. And this is an NOA problem. This is not NCL. This is not Nintendo of Europe, because they get VC games and they get them good. It's just something about NOA does not either understand or care about VC on Wii U and, frankly, on 3DS. I would suspect they're struggling. I would bet they understand the desire for Wii U and 3DS owners to not pay for Mario Brothers 2 twice.
Sure.
And I would bet that they're trying to figure out a way to make that work, because I don't think NCL understands it. I don't think they think it's a problem.
Yeah, it's a little concerning to me. I'm sure they know the numbers. Maybe they know the money. I don't know. I hope they know. I hope they know what they're doing. I want them to put a lot of people on the VC. Whatever they have now is not enough. I want them to double what they have now. You can have one team working on the old games, but have one team working on games that have not come out on the service for platforms that have not come out, or even that have come out.
Or even like Mario Brothers 3, Island. Which was supposed to come out last year.
Mario Brothers 3 has not come out yet, but that is on NES Remix 2, so I have a feeling it's going to come out before that comes out.
They're just
going
to blow their load on Mario or on Remix 2. And by the way, they're not going to put a dime more effort into N64 games getting HD treatment, let's be clear. If they do anything, it'll be GameCube HD games, which they've already done and sold well. But we're not going to get like Star Fox 64 HD. I don't even know how that would be possible.
Right. If you look at other attempts at making this generation of games HD, there's Kojima was talking about it once for the original Metal Gear Solid. And you've heard the same spiel for Final Fantasy VII tons of times. And basically, the gist of what I understand they're saying is that it is just too fucking hard to make that generation of games in HD. And it's way easier to make the sixth generation, excuse me, the GameCube era into HD.
I don't want to say that. It's like with games of that generation, they're developed at a higher resolution. They're developed on a computer. They're not developed on a GameCube. And so when they put it on a GameCube, the graphical limitations of the system take over. And you have to par it down a little bit. So unless I'm completely wrong, I could be talking on my ass, but I know that's how it works on like PS2. But so you could, the reason it took them 6 months to make Wind Waker HD, I imagine, is because they already had most of the work done. It was just sitting there. And they just probably had to add, the Wii U specific features and some graphical flourishes, but I'll bet the game already looked fine.
Well, yeah, I think it's also I would imagine it is an extremely easy game to translate into HD.
Sure.
Just even compared to other games of that generation, just based on its art style.
I'm sure that's true, yeah. But I can totally see them, I mean, this is sad to say, I can totally see them not releasing any N64 games on the Wii U. Maybe it's just not cost effective. Maybe nobody buys N64 games on VC.
Sure.
I bought like 3. I think I have Mario 64, F-Zero, and it's like Pokemon Puzzle League, maybe? No, it's Yoshi's Story.
And that's on Wii, right?
Yoshi's Story, is yeah, they're all 3 are on Wii. Yeah.
Okay.
Hey, Yoshi's Story, another Yoshi game that got a lot of flack for being too different from Yoshi's Island.
Was that a good game?
I love that game. It's you can make it as hard as you want. It's totally up to you.
If it goes on the Club Nintendo, I will definitely pick it up.
Definitely fun.
So one last thing I just want to bring up is that I just wonder what would happen if Nintendo did put a lot of force into VC. What if they were constantly re-releasing games that were already on Wii with the gamepad support, but what if they were also beefing up support and bringing out tons of GBA, DS, N64, maybe even Dreamcast and GameCube games? All that bringing out, do you think that would be a huge financial benefit? Are they missing something, or do they just, or is it actually too risky, do you think?
I think certain things are too risky. I think N64 is probably too risky. Because those games look like ass, and there were like 10, mm-hmm. 10 good ones, and they're all on VC, except for, no, I think they are all on VC.
Pokemon Stadium and Pokemon Stadium 2. I could really use those.
But you wouldn't really be able to get those unless you had like Red and Blue on 3DS.
They're still playable.
Yeah, I know, yeah. The mini games are really fun in those games. But for like Dreamcast, that's going to take a lot of effort, like a lot of effort. But I don't understand why like Genesis hasn't made an appearance. It's on 3DS for God's sake. I don't know why it hasn't on Wii U.
It's been exclusively NES and NES.
Super Nintendo. It's just so weird.
Uh huh.
I mean, maybe there's licensing issues that expired, with the Wii. I don't know. It's every time I fill out a Club Nintendo survey for VC games, I say, this process must be more transparent. You're driving all of us crazy. And they clearly don't listen to me.
They're not doing a very good job of competing with, I guess, even Sony. I think Sony's releasing more Genesis games now. than
probably more PS1 games, too.
Yeah, than Nintendo. Oh, yeah, you can get PS1 games on the Vita comfortably. You can get PSP games digitally on the Vita.
Yep.
I wish Nintendo would do that.
You can buy a PS game, one game once and download it to both your systems.
All three? Well, no, actually, no, that's a lie. There's no
no support on PS4 yet.
Well, actually, all three because PSP, I guess.
Oh, if you PSP, still use a PSP
and a Vita. So there's that. I just hope they figure it out, and I just hope I hope they're just honest. I hope they either pull off the Band-Aid and just fucking stop VC altogether and give up. Or they make it great, because this in-between shit is not working.
I would kind of like Reggie to get up on stage at E3 and be like, virtual console, fuck it. I mean, it'll hurt.
We're done.
It'll suck, but at least we'll know, you know?
Yeah. All right, so that will do it for today. Thank you for joining me.
Oh, Matt. That was a good old time.
That was fun. It was a good half hour.
Indeed. Let's do this again.
Sure. Well, let's just cut out all the other connectivity minutes.
Yes, I agree.
The Alex and Zach hour. You can find us on Twitter. Zach is ZMiller1902.
Yep.
And I am at Kulafia, at Culafia. And if you want to hear us or any other member of Connectivity read your letters, be sure to send them to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com.
Mm.
Thank you for joining me, guys. See you next week. Bye.
Bye.
Hi, and welcome to Connectivity, where we have a special thing for you this week. We're going to talk about a brand new Wii U eShop game that got revealed on the website earlier this week. And we have the developer of the game, Seren McNulty, here talking with us now.
Hello.
Say hello.
Hello.
And the name the name of the game is I've Got to Run. Mm-hmm. It is an endless runner that uses Miiverse and a lot of other cool things, and we're going to talk all about it. I'm Neil Ronahan, and also with me on this segment is Scott Thompson.
Hello!
So I guess before we go any further, Seren, take it away and tell us all about I've Got to Run. Like, I guess your kind of elevator pitch about it.
Okay, so I've Got to Run is a procedurally generated 2D endless runner with three modes. The first is Endless Classic, where it is just you have a single jump, you're going left to right, one speed only, and the game is generating screens upon screens of platforms, and you need to see how far you can get. It's definitely a high-score arcade game. Second mode is Endless Double, which is Endless Classic, except you have a double jump. And the third is Endless Special, where there are speed ups and speed downs that you can collect or avoid. And I guess the elevator pitch about what makes this cool between the three modes is that there's an algorithm in place where it will not give you any jumps or platforming, I guess, requirements. It won't ask anything of you that your character with that current skill set can't do. So there will be jumps in Endless Double that you could not make in Endless Classic, and you will only get them in Endless Double and Endless Classic, etc. And it's constantly analyzing your current skill set. For instance, in Endless Special, if you're going really, really fast, the amount of frames you have to hit the jump could theoretically get so thin that you couldn't jump on some platforms, so it only gives you wide platforms. And
that's pretty cool. I didn't really notice that while playing it.
Yeah, it's very specific. It could make it almost impossible, but it's showing you one screen, and it actually is generating 15 screens ahead, and about 10 screens ahead, it has another version of you that's running perfectly, and if it can't make it, it destroys that screen and redoes it.
Oh, wow.
So it's definitely fair. It's running 60 frames per second on the Wii U and the gamepad off TV Play.
Does it run at the same time?
It runs at exactly the same time.
Okay, so no Donkey Kong Country chicanery where it goes to black.
Yes, right, no, it runs at the same time, and if you are in a fairly close environment, they run perfectly in sync. Which some games don't always do, especially with the music. And another cool thing is that if you die, which you will, then it actually only takes 1/20th of a second for you to start again. So it is actually imperceivable to the human eye.
Yeah, no, I could definitely it never seemed like I stopped. Playing.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So it's mm-hmm. it's constant going, and there's never a negative feedback loop of you failed, retry, or sit there and wait for a few seconds while you retry, or while you wait to retry. And the whole thing is coming out for $2.
That sounds like a good deal. Now, as far as a Miiverse integration with it, how exactly is that going to work?
Okay, so for technical reasons, the way it's going to work is, so it's recording your high scores. And in that 1/20th of a second, most of that time, that infinitesimal amount of time, most of it is actually comparing your score to the high scores and saving. So that means that it's also doing the whole saving and loading procedure in that time as well. Because the Wii is actually really powerful with that. So what it's doing is it's saving your highest score for all three modes. And then on the main menu, there's a button that'll take you to the high scores table, which will let you compare, or well, you see your three scores, and on that screen it recommends, hey, why not take a screenshot of this and post it to Miiverse? And then you can post it to Miiverse, and obviously once you have that, you'll be able, players will be able to scroll down Miiverse and see what people's high scores are. People can challenge each other in the comments of individual Miiverse post threads. But also, because Miiverse is accessible on PCs, you can take that screenshot and tweet it at someone specifically saying, hey, top this. And
yeah, you can call them out.
Exactly. And since the
game, send out some fighting words.
Yeah. And if, because the game is only $2, if you send it to someone who doesn't already have it, it's not a huge hurdle to go in and get that game and try competing, saying, what are you talking about? You didn't even hit 6 digits on that score.
Now, I guess, where did the kind of the idea for this game come, and how did you even get into developing games for Wii U in the first place?
Okay, so I'm going to answer both of those questions in order. So, the idea for the game, I've actually, Four Corner Games has never released a game before. It's just me, by the way. But it's never released a game before, but I...
Where'd the name for the company come from?
Okay, you're never going to let me answer anything.
Just got a lot of questions.
Name for the company, I wrote down, I just took a notebook out and just started writing a stream of consciousness for 2 hours and then came back to it a week later and picked the best one.
Cool.
It
seems like more often than not, people are just like, where did you come up with that name? I'm like, I don't know, it kind of sounded cool.
Yeah, it kind of sounded cool out of the list, not going to lie.
All right, now the game.
Yes, the
Let's
game.
Go back to that question.
Okay, so I've been, it was actually, I guess, founded in 2009. Right around the time that WiiWare was in its heyday. So to give that kind of perspective, that's almost a century ago in gaming. Because
I was gonna say, WiiWare's heyday was a very small window, I feel.
Yeah,
like.
It was like March of 2000. It was like April 2008 to like May 2008, something like that. I don't know. When did World of Goo come out? It was that month.
Yeah, it was like April 2008. There was the Bomberman Blast, and then Mega Man 9 came out the next week.
That's true.
Bomberman Blast, soon to become defunct. No one's playing it.
It was a good game.
But, yeah, it was right around that time, and since then, I was just sort of prototyping a bunch of stuff, just, on and off, this is a hobbyist thing of mine, and I was just kind of prototyping, like, hey, what could I do, you know, in this genre? Could I do anything kind of fun that I haven't seen a lot in games? And the answer was not a lot, because even though I do play a lot of games and I review games, it's just, like, it's really hard to be a clever game designer when you only have one person on staff, because yeah. if I come up with a great concept, it also has to be a great concept that I can execute on, and I can execute on well, which is fairly difficult, to be honest. I'm not going to sugarcoat that. So I have a folder that's a couple gigabytes that has about 10 prototypes that I've just made over the last couple of years. But this one, I had flirted with 2D platforms, but I never really flirted with endless runners. And around last October or November is when the game started development, probably around October. And by development, I meant I had a clear vision. I had started tinkering with it over last summer. And I tinkered with a physics engine, and that was over the summer. But then I came up with the algorithm that would allow for the game to scan, check to make sure that everything is possible. And with that, I thought, let's do an endless runner, because endless runner, never being unfair, seemed pretty reasonable to me. It's more, endless runners seem more welcome to, like, more natural fit to random generation than level-based platformers do, and Cloud Bear Kingdom was already doing that. So yeah. I figured, you know what, let's just throw this in there. And I did, and it was very fun, although it was all using programmer art and temp music that I had stolen from Sonic Adventure 2, and name drop.
I just want to play this version of the game just to see what it was like.
Oh, yeah. God. It was, there was no animations. It was really, really rough, but...
Actually, I think you might have sent me.
You did. You did play that version of the game, Neil.
Yeah. I don't think I played it with the sound on, though.
No. Damn. But it was really, really rough, but it was, the feedback I was getting was pretty universally positive. Like, yeah, I'd like to see this fleshed out. And then I had the Endless Classic finished back in like November, and I was thinking, and at that point I was a registered Wii U developer and I had gotten my stuff, and it actually only took about one or two days to figure out how to start natively putting it on the Wii U. At this point the code is so optimized that it's really from the ground up a Wii U game. But
so, like, what was the kind of the timeline on, like, when you, I guess, intended to become a Wii U eShop developer?
I reach...
And then you actually were a Wii U eShop developer.
The turnaround was about 4 months, because I reached out to them in April last year, I want to say. March or April last year, right when they were saying, basically, hey, anyone that has any experience with anything in the entire industry... Come talk.
Do you make a video game?
Yeah.
Do you want to make a video game? Come hang out with us. Pay no attention to the man in the corner telling you that the Wii U sold 3 units this week.
Yeah. They're basically like, just come talk to us. And I did, and they were very supportive on the, like, they just called me out of the blue one day. It was just like in August, late August. So that was kind of out of my mind at that point. And I just got a phone call from Washington, and I'm like, well, I can tell you it's Nintendo, but I thought it was like Nintendo PR. So I picked up the phone, and they're like, hi, are you in a secure location? And I'm like, that is the best start to any phone call. And
no, I'm in a mall. Then get out.
Yeah. No, I was in my room alone. So I was like, yeah, I'm in a secure location. And they talked to me, and they asked me some questions, and they're like, you qualify. So we'll get you some stuff. And then that turnaround took about a couple weeks. Before I was all set up. But back to the game. We're all over the place.
It's like branching paths.
I'm sorry, listeners. This is his doing. sorry. But no, so the game, I was, yeah, it took a couple days before it started becoming natively a Wii U project. And at that point, you know, it was still using programmer art and temp music, but the Endless Classic mode was done. And I was thinking, 99 cents, let's do this. This is pretty close to the end of the game. We'll have this out by, like, December. And then I started asking around. I gave people builds of the game. Not on the Wii U, but just builds of the game. And the feedback I was getting was pretty much unanimous. It was pretty much like, I want a double jump. I want something more. And so I was like, screw it. What happened if I threw in a double jump? And I spent about a week toying with what would be the perfect double jump for the physics in the game. And I found it. And I threw that in. I was like, screw it, let's make that its own mode. I'm like, two modes. I'm like, yeah, but I have an idea for a third mode. If I'm already going multiple modes, I may as well have a mode that has speed ups and speed downs. And that could affect the speed of the music and the speed of everything. And that'd be great. And then at that point, I had an idea for a couple more modes. I'm like, screw it, we're feature locking it with these three modes. And we'll just put it out at $2. I'm part of the last couple things I'm doing, actually, is I'm building in hooks for DLC in case I decide to make a fourth or fifth mode in the future. It'd only be like 50 cents to a dollar, but I have some ideas that I won't say publicly in case I don't do them. But it's, no, so the whole thing, that's pretty much the timeline. And then I started putting in the art and the music. Music is being done by a friend of mine who is a Hollywood composer and usually does big cinematic scores. And so when I told him, no, we're making a very, very lighthearted video game about a little marshmallow boy jumping around, he's like, well, this will be a challenge. But I think the music's coming out pretty good.
Yeah, no, I especially like an Endless Special.
Oh, thank you.
I like how the music slows down and speeds up.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice touch, yeah.
Thank you.
It's very dynamic.
Yes, that was part of the, like, when, by the time I got the speed ups and speed downs, it actually really got disorienting when the music didn't go with the game speed.
Yeah.
So I was like, no, we're going to quickly program this in. That was really easy.
Yeah, that's a little thing that you don't really think about how whenever there's a game and it slows down, how, like, the music almost has to slow down with it or else then it is very jarring.
Yeah, but, like, as soon as I threw that in, like, I'm never going back. This is absolutely a core feature of the game now. And, so, yeah, I've been building in those hooks. I've been polishing. That's really what I can, like, the word I'm using to describe what these last couple of weeks are coming down to. I'm flirting with the idea of animated backgrounds. I'm not going to commit to that yet. I thought I was going to be, but I tried some different techniques, and it got way too distracting. Or just too eh. But, and then I'm going to throw some sound effects in there. The current build has no sound effects. But, and then, for the most part, it's pretty much done. So, I'm pretty pleased. It'll be coming out Q2 in North America.
So that's for anyone keeping score at home. It's between April and June.
Yes, it's missing March. March was the goal as soon as I started throwing in the extra modes. March was the goal. But there were just so many things that happened that were like, March is an impossibility at this point. And I realized that about early, like, first week of February. I was like, I'm never going to hit March. Yeah. We're just going to start saying Q2.
There you go. Play it safe.
Yeah.
First game and you've already got, like, the insider talk down.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, just trying to increase spending and then our profits and profit margins.
There you go. You mentioned that you kind of got into this during the heyday of WiiWare. Was there something about the Wii or Nintendo platforms in general that pushed you more towards putting this on a Nintendo platform versus, say, something like Steam or, Xbox One, PS4, PS3, Xbox 360, something like that? Is there some incentive in that, or are you just a Nintendo fan and so it felt right? Or?
Well, I'm going to answer your question with a couple questions of my own that should really, really answer that. So the first thing you suggested was Steam. First question is, do I want to go through Steam Greenlight? The second question really is how would this game stand out on Steam?
That's true.
It wouldn't. So that's pretty much lost. And the next question is, could you imagine yourself playing Infamous Second Son or Titanfall and then switching out and then going to play I've Got to Run on the same machine?
So it felt more like
a
thematic
thing. I might be
doing
that and playing Towerfall, which doesn't really seem that far off.
Towerfall has a different type of
appeal
and charm to it. It's just that this game just feels like, just conceptually feels more at home on a Nintendo platform. And I feel like that has a lot to do with Nintendo's lineage. And there are 2D platformers on the other systems. Like, there's Rayman Legends on both of them, which still feels like a Wii U game. But, like, it's just, I would rather this be on the platform that it feels right for. Nintendo reached out at just the right time. It runs tremendously well on the Wii U. I'm not even using 5% of the memory that it requires, that the system requires, because on PC, and disclosure for what I think Neil and Scott have alluded to this, they've played a small preview version built for PC already. So that they could ask questions. But like the PC version that they have, it took like 120 megabytes of RAM on PC to run, whereas it takes 28 megabytes of RAM on Wii U because I've optimized it so heavily.
Okay. So yeah, so it was more of just a natural kind of maybe more thematic fit than any sort of kind of outside incentive.
Yeah.
Is what it sounds like. Okay.
Exactly.
That's cool.
And then when I took that, I sort of ran with it, and I got a little crazy with the optimization, as I keep saying. And I'm only really keep repeating that because there was literally a 3-week span of the development where I literally did nothing except go into the code and rewrite any line that looked like it could be optimized for Wii U. So there was a huge chunk of time that was like, we want to make this the best. Like, we don't want to make this feel like a rush job on Wii U because it gets so few games, it may as well get polished ones.
Yeah. There you go.
Let's be real here. Another thing is that, yes, for the first weekend, and this is just the first weekend, not the first week, so this is going to cut off on this.
So maybe like Thursday to Sunday night.
Yeah, Thursday to Sunday night or Sunday noon. I don't know when Nintendo would do it, or Monday morning, because they might not be in the office to pull the plug, and it might be a manual thing, I'm not sure. And I can talk about that because I really have no knowledge on that right now. But so that's speculative from my position. But the first weekend, it's going to be 50% off. It's going to launch 50% off at $1. So really, if you have a Wii U that's connected to the internet...
It's a buck, man.
Yeah,
you probably bought Yoshi for close to that on that crappy NES game. Come on.
Yeah, I mean,
or was that like 33?
That was 30 cents.
Whatever, 30 cents.
30 cents. That was the Famicom.
Okay,
30.
You bought Yoshi, Donkey Kong, and I don't know. Whoops, another crappy one.
not Urban Champion.
Because Balloon Fight's actually
Balloon Fight's good. It's yeah, or yeah, it's I like solid. Balloon Fight. I wouldn't call it good. I would
Balloon
call it...
Trip is kind of great.
Yes, Balloon Trip is great. Balloon Fight is not. Anyways, I'm announcing that now. Launch weekend promotion. This is exclusive. Don't put it in the write up. First weekend it's gonna be.
We'll see how many people listen to this. We'll be how many people are like, hey, it's only gonna be $1 for a couple days.
Yeah. No. I mean, after that, it's gonna be $2 because this is a. Actually, what I usually do when I have someone test, usually, is I'll give it to them. They'll play it for 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Then I'll ask them how much they think I'm going to sell it for. And the answer is usually like $4, $5. And then I'll be like, no, $2. And they're like, that's a steal. I'll buy that. Or I'd buy that because they don't have Wii U, so it'll be I'd. But the, the game... I'm pushing it at a value for $2, and then I'm even more heavily pushing the value in the first weekend. Like, it's apparently 1/5 of the price that people were saying they'd pay for it for launch weekend. So think of it as an 80% off sale that's going to go back to a permanent 60% off sale. It's gonna be really cheap. My biggest fear is that people are going to look at that and think that reflects the quality of the game or the amount of effort I put into it.
You are very well trained by Nintendo at this point. No. isn't that the comment that Iwata always said that we feel 99-cent games devalue the quality of the game?
Well, yeah. I mean, cheap games on the Nintendo eShop. There's a huge gambit. There's not so polished, not so good games that seem like they were put together in 2 months. And then there's Gunman Clive. Shout out.
Gunman Clive is one of the best cheap games I've ever played.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, so there's a huge gambit on that you run on Nintendo download games for that price. And I don't want to speak to it because I'm not an objective source, but I feel like the amount of work and polish that I'm putting into it is closer to Gunman Clive than some other games that I'm not going to name. But yeah. And then I don't think there's ever been a 99-cent game on the eShop. I think there's games that have been on sale for that. So for launch weekend, go ahead and buy the cheapest.
Could be the cheapest thing on eShop at the time.
Yeah. Well, Wii U eShop? Yes, it will.
Yes.
For sure. So if you want a new Wii U game, that will be your absolute cheapest avenue.
Well, cool. And I guess as far as we kind of wrap this up, where do you go from I've Got to Run? Obviously, it's not out yet, but you are kind of winding down development at this point.
Yeah, with development's winding down, it's getting into the legal work and the paperwork and the...
Yeah, and the lot checks and your submissions and everything.
Yes, and the learning how to use Photoshop for for images and promotional artwork and, yeah.
Trailers.
Ugh, trailers. I actually want to comment on that real quick. For trailers, some of you may have noticed that there wasn't a trailer at the announcement, and NWR doesn't have one, and no one's going to have one for possibly a while. And that's just because the game runs at 60 frames per second, and there's never a single drop, and anyone who's seen it can attest to this. It is designed...
This is true.
It is designed around running at a solid 60 frames per second. And the issue with trailers is that recording it directly from the Wii U on my Elgato unit, on my Elgato capture unit, scales it down to 30 frames per second. And if I record from the PC version, yeah, I can capture 60 frames per second, but one, that's not optimized, and two, and more imperatively, putting it on YouTube is going to chop it down to 30 frames per second. And the game looks horrible in 30 frames per second, and I don't want that representation out there, because that's not what my game looks like. So, there isn't a trailer yet. There will be at some point. Look forward to it once I figure out the hassle. but yeah, trailer. You brought that. You reminded me to bring that up. That is my excuse for why I have not worked with video editing software on this game yet. It's the reason why there's not one yet. But there will be, because there has to be. So I don't want the game out with no video, no footage representation of what it looks like. That would be sketchy.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, I guess what are your kind of plans after I've Got to Run comes out in the next couple months? Are you going to be making more games for Wii U?
Well, here's what I can say, or what I will say, because I set my own standards on this. Like I said, I'm looking into DLC, and if I do, that's going to be something I toy with probably around the time that I submit the game to Nintendo, so pretty much right after launch. I'm going to dig back in and see if I can make some of these modes. I'm kind of excited to see how they pan out from an actual gameplay perspective. And then I have three prototypes running, or games that I'm prototyping in my spare time when I'm not working on I've Got to Run, because there's a little fatigue at this point with that game, and I've sort of hit a lull. I'm like, you know, this hour I'm going to take a break and work on this game. So I'll talk about one, hint at another, and leave the other completely behind closed doors.
That sounds like a really good way to end the segment.
Okay. So the three things, and these are all for Wii U. Two of them, I'll get to that later. So the first one is actually the one I've been most public about, because I've tweeted at Zach Miller about this a lot. I have a prototype running on Wii U and other systems, ? You might find out if I ever make this, of a 2D sprite-based game with similar to the art style of I've Got to Run. So, like, not retro sprites, but just, like, high-res cartoony sprites, where The idea is it's like a suburban neighborhood, but everyone's mode of transportation is getting on dinosaurs and riding them around. You can tell why I tweeted about this.
That
to Zach Miller.
That is the Zachest game I've ever heard.
And, well, there's no breasts.
Okay.
But
no boobs, but dinosaurs. I feel like the pelvis.
Yeah. And I've got it running, and it's very fun. But the issue is I haven't come up with an actual game or like a motivation for it yet. So that's one sitting in a folder to see if I come up with something. I'm definitely revisiting that because it works and it's fun. But if I just release it as a sort of sandbox, I wouldn't feel satisfied personally. But I have that as a prototype. Another game I have, that's one I'm most open about. This one I'm being very coy about. This one is would be, I don't want to say is, I'm not committing, would be exclusively on Wii U because it's integrally designed around communication between the gamepad and the TV. So there's no off TV play. It would use next to no graphics. Musically, there would be very little, but there would be a lot of voice acting. And it would use the touchscreen, the camera, and the gyroscope. And the code name is Ghost.
Okay.
So, I'm... Also... I'll throw one more bit out there, and that is narrative driven. And that's all I'll say about that. I'm still prototyping it.
You have my attention.
Yeah, I'm still prototyping it. No idea if I'm going to continue with it, but if I do, you can expect it's only coming to Wii U because it's something that can only be done on the Wii U.
You know, Nintendo should make some games like
Nintendo
that.
Nintendo should, but I came up with this concept about 3 weeks ago. And I got something up and running within 48 hours that used the gyroscope and the touchscreen and two different displays. So I'm feeling kind of confident about being able to do it. Also, it would be a very long development process. Like, it would be in development for maybe about a year and a half. It would be an expansive game. It would probably be a $10, $15 game, not a $2 game. This would be a big thing. And then the third one.
So that's kind of, I mean, what you're looking forward to or looking to do more in the future is make bigger experiences than I've got to run.
Yes, possibly. The dinosaur thing might not turn into that much bigger experience. But this one, if I do make this, I guess, codename Ghost, as I just announced I'm calling it, that specifically would be immediately disappointing as a short, small project. That would be multi-hour long, like maybe like 8-9 hour long experience. Don't want to talk too much about it publicly. And the final thing I will not say anything about other than if it does come out, yes, it's coming to Wii U. Because I feel like that's the only thing that people would be worried about. And I can confirm that if any of these three prototypes get made, it is coming to Wii U.
Well, there you go. Nintendo for life.
Yeah. Let's go get our tattoos later.
Yeah. with one exception that I can't talk about, I've had nothing but great experiences developing for Wii U and working with Nintendo on it. So.
That is certainly good to hear.
Yeah. So, nothing but positive. I really shouldn't say too much because apparently even complimenting them could have the Nintendo ninjas at my door. So, I'll just...
Well, then maybe it's best...
I'll say thumbs up for life. Up. Yeah, thumbs up for life. Yeah. Let's go.
Let's go get our tattoos. And, if you have any questions, feel free to hit Seren up on Twitter. Her name is...
Okay.
At...
So there's at Sycorax98, which is my personal, at SYCORAXIC98. Alternatively, you can follow at Four Corner Games for updates on the game. That's me, more professional account. And if you're just looking to interact with me in the context of the game, that is the account to follow.
Cool. And then if you have any questions, you can also feel free to hit us up at connectivity@NintendoWorldReport.com. And if you send us any listener mail or anything, and it's questions, then you can send them over her way.
Yeah.
And you know, get some answers. Maybe there'll be some interviews up on the site or something.
Yeah.
Kind of a follow-up. We definitely, we want to hear your thoughts on this. It's our first exclusive game reveal in quite some time.
Yeah. And
so it's fun.
If there are any press who are listening, happen to be listening to this on the plane ride to GDC, there are none of you, I know, but I thought I'd address this anyways. The game will be present and playable at GDC in some fashion. Hit me up.
There you go.
Cool. Awesome. So thanks for listening, and I hope you guys are looking forward to the game.
As do I. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
About the Nintendo World Report March Madness Tournament. That's celebrating Planet GameCube / Planet N2000 / Nintendo World Report's 15th birthday. What we're doing is we have, you can vote on the site. We have 68 games in total. By the time you're listening to this, we might actually be down to 32. But they're all games from the time that Nintendo World Report has been around, since early... We kind of fudged it a little bit. Technically, Nintendo World Report was born on March 7th, 1999. We included all of 1999 in this, although I don't think there were really many games that are going to make noise on this bracket that came out between January and March 1999. But now, me and Donald Terrio, right?
That's right.
Yeah. He's from Nintendo Free Radio, all around man about Twitter and the forums. And he's going to talk with me, Neil Ronahan, about who we think is going to go far in this tournament, in which, when you're listening to this, you can go on and vote in whatever round is going on right now. It's going to wrap up by the end of March. We're not going to bleed over to April like a certain other March Madness tournament. But we're just going to go very slavishly and didactically through every single region that we have. So let's start off with the first region that we have, which is the Planet Zebes region, which is led by the number one seed Metroid Prime. The top seeds there, it's Metroid Prime at 1, Perfect Dark at 2, Majora's Mask at 3, and Super Smash Bros. Melee at 4. But I guess, Donald, let's look at the first couple matchups there. Metroid Prime's going to kick the crap out of Pokemon Gold and Silver. I think that is pretty clear.
Yeah, I personally am rooting for the Meteor on this one. I think that Pokemon Gold and Silver, despite writing more about it than anyone in history, is probably the most overrated game Nintendo's ever done.
Yeah, I agree. I actually kind of fought against Gold and Silver even making it into the end of the list, and it wound up being a 16 seed, so I guess fair justice.
Yes. Metroid Prime, yeah, pretty easy walkover for that one, although... Well, stranger things have happened in this tournament, but I've never seen a 16 beat a 1, so I don't see it. Don't see it starting now.
Yeah, and I think Prime is a very clear favorite to win it all. I mean, that's the game's coming off winning the NWR Game of the Decade, that best game from 2000 to 2009, and I think it is the high favorite. If there was an odds maker for this tournament, which there is not, Metroid Prime would be like 3-1 or something. I don't know what odds are.
I guess it'd be the equivalent of the number one overall seed in the tournament.
Yeah, definitely. They came out of the regular season going to their conference Metroid tournament, winning the tournament, basically being an overall Wichita State, but in a better conference. For anyone that actually follows NCAA basketball, go Syracuse.
Yay.
We got the 9 and the 8 seed, which I think might be more of a toss-up, but the winner is just going to get stomped by Metroid Prime. It's New Super Mario Brothers on the DS and WarioWare Twisted.
I think there's a bit of a hate on against the new Super Mario games, so I think WarioWare is going to come out of this one. It'll lose in round two pretty hard, but...
Yeah, I think Twisted is also the best WarioWare game. I think in a just world, WarioWare Twisted wins this, but I wouldn't be surprised if there's some voting Mario bias, that kind of people who haven't played WarioWare, just vote for New Super Mario Brothers because that's the one they played, or it could kind of reverse... It can kind of work in the reverse way where people are bitter over the new Super Mario Brothers series and vote for WarioWare despite not having played it.
I must confess I might end up in that category when the ballots open.
But yeah, I mean, Metroid Prime will definitely win that little section though. Then we get a little more interesting as we get away from the one seeds. We got this little coupling here. We have the 12 seed Kid Icarus Uprising. And the 5 seed, Legend of Zelda, A Link Between Worlds. Two 3DS games matched up in the first round. And I think A Link Between Worlds is a lock to win this round.
I know it. I know that's the one I'll be voting for. It was my handheld game of the year last year. And
yeah, same here. I think technically Wind Waker HD might have been my game of the year. But as far as game that was actually new in 2013, it was totally A Link Between Worlds.
Yeah, so... That'll do well. I've got some theories about the Zelda balloting on the forums, but we'll get to that when we get into more older games.
Oh. And then we have the 13 seed is Mario Kart Wii, and it's going up against Super Smash Bros. Melee. While I love Mario Kart Wii, this is Melee's round to win, and I think the Melee will go on to beat A Link Between Worlds as well.
Yeah, I've got Melee going all the way to the finals.
Wow. So you think Melee is going to take down Metroid Prime?
I think there's a couple of upsets in the Sweet 16 or whatever we're calling it, and I think Melee.
I don't know. I haven't come up with it. We haven't gotten there yet. The actual tournament, so I don't know what the hell I'm going to call it.
Yeah, but I think Melee has gotten enough of a push in recent years, especially now that it's in that there's a big campaign to get it into Evo, that there could be some outside forces working to push that through. Like, yeah. I've got it all the way to the finals before it meets, well, we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, for me, I think that Melee's going to put up a hell of a fight, but I think that's Prime's portion of the region to win. I think Prime is the favorite, and I don't think Prime's going to get stopped on its way to the Final Four. I think the only thing in its way is actually Super Smash Bros. Melee. Because as we'll now go over the bottom half of this bracket, I think the 2 seed is one of the weakest 2 seeds in the bracket, not because the game's not that good, but because I don't think there's really a lot of support for Perfect Dark, which is going up against Jet Force Gemini in round 1, which is a nice N64 pairing. But I think Perfect Dark is going to win that round, but I think that Perfect Dark is going to get upset in round 2.
Yeah, I've got Perfect Dark beating Jet Force Gemini, but going down to, well, another upset, actually.
Oh, do you think Ghost Trick's gonna pull it out over Donkey Kong Country Returns, the 10 and the 7 seed?
Not much of an upset, but I think Ghost Trick is beloved enough, and there's still some residual hatred over the fact that Retro is doing platformers, that it could come back and bite DKC Returns in the tush and have Ghost Trick advance.
Yeah, I mean, I'll definitely be pulling for Ghost Trick. That will be my vote for certain. But I think Donkey Kong Country Returns is gonna win that, and then beat Perfect Dark, and then possibly even I think Donkey Kong Country 8 Returns has a chance of going up against Metroid Prime, which would be a really good good finale to this region, having two Retro Studios games go up against each other.
Yeah.
And then we have an interesting matchup, which I think needs a little bit of background. Just so everyone's aware, we have 68 teams, and if you're familiar with the NCAA tournament, you know that there's usually, you know, four regions of 16 teams making it 64. However, in recent years, they've had these play-in games, and this is basically my excuse to include some more games in this, because we picked four from each of the past 15 years, giving us 60 games, and then we had four to play with like, you know, games that didn't make it in the particular year. But we had a lot more of those games than I expected, so then we made it 68, and we had a wild card round. Super Mario 3D World was in that wild card round, and that game just happens to be in this bracket. As we record this, I guess stranger things have happened, but Super Mario 3D World is up about 60 votes on Luigi's Mansion. So I think Super Mario 3D World will be going in to face The Legend of Zelda Majora's Mask in round one. And I think that 3D World has the potential to run the table in this entire region here and go up against Metroid Prime.
I do agree. I think that if worst comes to worst, our community manager, JP Corbin, who has 3D World as his best game ever, will just threaten to ban everybody. So 3D World will advance that way.
Yeah.
But that and the forums, we recently, in coordination with the top 10 poll that the staff did, the forums had their own poll for best Zelda game ever. And Majora's Mask was fifth. So I just don't think it has the forum support to survive 3D World, if assuming that's the way the matchup goes.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I know there's a lot of love on Majora's Mask, but, I don't think it has enough to make it past 3D World. I think 3D World, despite having some jerks on staff that really, really lobbied hard against it when we had the internal thing to figure out the four games from each year. I think that ended with Justin Berube saying, if 3D World doesn't make it, I'm going to kill myself. Thankfully, he didn't follow through with that, and suicide isn't funny at all. But that was something that was said during the meeting. It got heated. Got very, very heated.
There's some games I'm questioning their lack of inclusion here, but I'll just save that for the NFRIT at some point.
Yeah, well, we can go over that at the end, because I'll be curious, because it's someone on the outside compared to me, you know, organizing this entire thing. It was a really wacky process, for certain, and we can get into that a little bit as we get through this. But just wrapping up this region, the last game is Mega Man 9, an 11 seed, against Metroid Prime, a 6 seed, Metroid Prime 3, and I think Mega Man 9 could win that. I don't think Prime 3 is as beloved.
Yeah, I think all the Metroid love in that bracket's up at the top, so yeah. I have Mega Man 9 pulling the upset, and then... Well, getting upset on its own in the second round.
Yeah, yeah, I think this bracket's going to be, it's Metroid Prime's to lose. I think if Metroid Prime beats Melee, it's going to the final four, and I think the going up against it in the regional final, I think it'll either be 3D World or Donkey Kong Country Returns. I think Donkey Kong Country Returns. I don't think there's as much residual hate towards Donkey Kong Country Returns. I think there might actually be more. Or at 3D World, I think there might be. Well, there wasn't as many counterpicks to 3D World for Luigi's Mansion as I expected in the wild card round, so maybe 3D World will still win that, but I think Primal will come out ahead.
I've got Melee all the way to the title game, so I think it's got the support to possibly pull that off, and it'll take out Link Between Worlds, Metroid Prime, and 3D World to get there.
Yeah, I think it'll be Metroid Prime or Melee representing, but my pick is Metroid Prime.
Yeah.
So let's move on to the Umbrella Division. It's headed by the top four seeds here, Resident Evil 4, Twilight Princess, Soul Calibur 2, and Xenoblade Chronicles. We got the first matchup is Mario Golf on the Game Boy Color versus Resident Evil 4. I don't even think that's going to be a competition. I think Resident Evil 4 will win.
I don't know. It could be closer than we think, but I think Resident Evil will pull that one out.
Yeah, I think Resident Evil 4 is probably the weakest one seed in the entire bracket. But I think it'll win here, and I think it'll win in the next round too. the 8 and the 9 seed in this bracket are The Legend of Zelda, The Minish Cap, Pikmin 2. I think Pikmin 2 will win that one. And I think Pikmin 2 will put up a fight against Resident Evil 4, but I think there's too much ambivalence towards Pikmin 2 and too much just everyone thinks that Resident Evil 4 is a great game. I don't know how much wild love it's going to get in our community, but I think that Resident Evil 4 will make it to the Sweet 16.
I think there's actually a little bit more love for Pikmin 2 now that 3's come out. So much so that I have Pikmin 2, I should say, making it to the Sweet 16 over Resident Evil, because RE is such a weak one seed that I think Pikmin 2 can pull the upset.
Yeah, I think this might be just, I think this is the weakest bracket in the, out of all four. And I think it all comes from that one seed. We got the 12 and the 5, our Rhythm Heaven on the DS, Kirby's Epic Yarn. I think Kirby can win that, but it might be close.
Yeah, I've got Kirby moving on there, and I think it'll be a little bit closer than you would like, given that you gave Epic Yarn a 10.
I did indeed love Epic Yarn, and probably the reason why Epic Yarn is a 5 seed is because of me. How we figured out the seeding was we took the Nintendo World Report review score and averaged it with the Metacritic of each game. That's probably why Kirby's Epic Yarn is a 5 seed.
That might explain a few of the snubs, actually. But
yeah, well, that wasn't how we figured out each game. We figured out each game by having a series of staff meetings where we'd have people nominate games for each year, and then we'd argue about it internally and vote to find out what games would move on. And then once we had our pool of 60 games, then I seeded them by the average of the NWR score and the Metacritic score, which actually had, like, there were a handful of games that had, like, the average of their Nintendo World Report score and their Metacritic score was in, like, the high 70s. So it was kind of weird what games moved on.
Yeah, and then the next matchup is one I'm surprised has a Metacritic score for one of the games.
Yeah. Well, I think for Ogre Battle 64, there was no NWR score, I think there is a Metacritic score for that game. And then it's up against Xenoblade Chronicles, or as I like to call this pairing, the James Jones Sophie's Choice round.
Yeah, I know what I'm voting for because I actually enjoyed Xenoblade. I didn't really get into Ogre Battle 64 all that much when it was retroactive, but here's how crazy this bracket is. I think Xenoblade advances to the final four out of it.
I do too. I mean, I think this bracket is that weak. That's my pick. I think that Ogre Battle 64 is a hell of a game. It's just such a dense game. I messed around with it. I had a friend who had it when I was younger, and we played it, and I got into it, but I never want to go back to it again. It's just not something. It's like I understand why people like that game so much, and I listened to the Retroactive for it, and it was a good time and all, but I don't want to go back to that game. And Xenoblade, I think, is a masterpiece, despite not having finished it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think Xenoblade's gonna win that round, and it's gonna triumph over Resident Evil 4 and make it to the final four here.
Yeah, I have a very interesting Elite Eight opponent for it, but that's a few matchups down the road, so... Yeah.
Well, let's get through that, then. We got the 11th seed is The Legend of Zelda Four Swords Adventures versus Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga, which is a 6th seed, and I think Mario & Luigi Superstar Saga will be the Elite Eight opponent for Xenoblade Chronicles.
Ooh, interesting.
I just think the rest of the bracket is weak. Soul Calibur 2, I don't think, as a 3 seed... I don't think it really has the cachet. I also think that probably Nintendo fans are a little bitter that these series only appeared in a shitty Wii game since then, that people might not hold it in such high esteem anymore.
So do you think it survives the wild card from this bracket?
It's looking, this is actually the closest wild card matchup right now, but it's looking like Paper Mario is going to pull out over Beautiful Joe. I think Soul Calibur 2 will beat Paper Mario. I don't think it'll beat Mario and Luigi.
I don't know. I think there's enough love for Soul Calibur 2 that I think it can that 6-3 matchup of Superstar Saga and Soul Calibur 2 is probably the closest of the whole tournament, I think.
Yeah.
And I think Soul Calibur pulls it out by a couple of votes. And then it gets stomped by, well, the next matchup.
Oh, so there's Animal Crossing New Leaf, a 10 seed, a pretty low 10 seed, I thought. And number 7 is Elite Beat Agents. And I think that might be probably the most interesting matchup in this entire region. I think Animal Crossing will pull out ahead, though.
I have Elite Eight agents winning this one and then going to the Elite Eight.
And then losing to Xenoblade, I take it?
Yep.
This is really a toss-up to me, because I think that Elite Beat Agents has enough love and support, but I feel like it might be one of those things like WarioWare Twisted, where just not as many people played it, whereas Animal Crossing New Leaf is going to be fresh in everyone's minds.
Yeah. I know I'll be voting pretty heavily for Elite Beat Agents just because it's one of my favorite DS games, so.
Yeah, no, Elite Beat Agents is a masterpiece, but I also think New Leaf is kind of a masterpiece, too. I know you have your hatred for Animal Crossing, damn it, but come on. It was fun. We got the 15 seed is Phoenix Wright Dual Destinies, which is the 3DS game that holds the distinction of being the game that knocked out 3D World from the, you know, the regular tournament and making it a wild card. There was a lot of grassroots supports for Phoenix Wright, and I think despite Twilight Princess being a really weak 2 seed, I think it'll lose to Twilight Princess, but then Twilight Princess will lose to Animal Crossing or Elite Beat Agents.
I don't know. If Twilight Princess never really got that last Zelda game bump that it seems like Majora's Mask and Wind Waker got, where they got really loved after the next game came out.
Definitely.
I actually had Phoenix Wright advancing.
Yeah. I think regardless of whoever wins that one, they're losing in the next round to Elite Beat or Animal Crossing.
Absolutely.
So then we both have Xenoblade going to the Final Four in this bracket.
Right.
And I don't really think, I don't think a lot of people will disagree with this. I think there's a chance RE4 might edge it out, but I doubt it. I think that, especially with all the hype for X, I think Xenoblade's got a pretty clear path here.
Yeah. I have Xenoblade tripping up. I think Xenoblade's toughest match, honestly, would be the Elite Beat Agents or whatever the regional final ends up being.
Whether it's Elite Beat or Animal Crossing or Mario and Luigi. Well, actually, I think Xenoblade would kick the crap out of Mario and Luigi, but I think it would have trouble against Animal Crossing or Elite Beat.
That'll be one I'll be sitting back with some popcorn for.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd expect, and when you are voting in this, you know, bring out your teeth. Shit on the other game. It'll be fun. I'll have a laugh. None of us made these. So we got the Mushroom Kingdom division, which is headlined by Galaxy 1 as the number 1 seed. Advance Wars is the 2 seed. Prince of Persia Sands of Time is the 3. And Fire Emblem Awakening is the 4.
Hmm.
Let's start off Pokemon Snap, which is one of the games that I lobbied very hard for to making it into this tournament. From the 99 years, will get destroyed by Super Mario Galaxy. And I think Super Mario Galaxy will march to the Final Four.
I think it's going even farther than that.
Do you think Galaxy is going to win it all?
I think Galaxy wins the whole thing.
Yeah, for me, it really comes down to Prime and Galaxy. I think those will be the two duking it out. For the 9 and 8 seed, we got Pokemon Black and White and Mario and Luigi's Bowser's Inside Story. What's your take on that one?
I want Black and White to win, but I don't think that any Pokemon game outside of Generations 1 or 2 would have a chance. So I've picked Bowser's Inside Story to advance.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of... I almost feel opposite on that because I kind of want Bowser's Inside Story to advance. That's my favorite for the Mario and Luigi series. But I think that Pokemon Black and White will get enough. So I think that there's enough Pokemon fans that at least one Pokemon game's moving on. And that's really the only one that I think is in a position to do so.
Yeah.
But then they'll lose to Galaxy. Everything loses to Galaxy in this region.
Yeah.
And then we got the 12 and the 5 is Phantom Hourglass versus Eternal Darkness in the 5 spot. And then the 13 and the 4 are Animal Crossing on the GameCube and Fire Emblem Awakening. Who do you think makes it out of that one?
I got Eternal Darkness versus Fire Emblem Awakening.
And I think Fire Emblem Awakening, I agree with that. And I think Fire Emblem Awakening will go up against Galaxy and be the toughest matchup that Galaxy has until it gets to the Final Four.
Yeah. That's pretty much how I had it going. Phantom Hourglass, that's divisive enough on the staff. I'm actually surprised it made it.
I am too. I did not lobby for Phantom Hourglass. I think that was one of the weak years. like, we realized, like, there were, you know, I think it was like 07 and 08 just weren't really that strong. And that's when Phantom Hourglass was. I think it was 08.
Phantom Hourglass was 07, but I actually had two games that I was shocked didn't make it, but one
from
of them from 07, yeah.
What were they?
Hotel Dusk and Planet Puzzle League.
With both of those, it's just that there wasn't the critical mass. I think if you were to ask me which is the better game, I would say Planet Puzzle League or Hotel Dusk. But the problem with those games is that not a lot of people on staff or even outside of the staff has played those games a lot.
Yeah.
Like I think Hotel Dusk was dominant. I don't think Puzzle League was. That's basically a sign that Mike Sklens wasn't heavily involved with this because he is a huge Puzzle League junkie.
Yeah.
And we got the 11 and the 6 here are Tales of Symphonia and Super Mario Sunshine. I think there's an outside shot Symphonia can beat Sunshine here.
Yeah, I actually figured the fact that Tales of Symphonia just got its HD remake means that there's a lot more, there's people that have played it, remember how good it was, and then remember that the GameCube version was apparently better frame rates and all that than what we've got now on PS3. So
I guess I shouldn't play that then. I've been thinking about it. I borrowed it from a friend on GameCube, so yeah. I'm curious to go back to it.
But I'd say it's definitely worth playing. Just understand what you're getting yourself into, and
because it's based on the PS2 version, right?
Yeah, yeah, and don't get the combo set with Dawn of the New World. Just buy it separately on PSN. You'll save yourself a lot of hassle that way.
And we got the wild card likely for this is Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow. Unfortunately, the WWF No Mercy, which was a potential Cinderella team coming in, but their dream ended against Castlevania Dawn of Sorrow, which I think could give Prince of Persia Sands of Time some fits, but I think Prince of Persia will still edge it out.
Yeah, I had Prince of Persia actually go into Sweet 16, but I was shocked when this game was a 3 seed.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know why is that when it came out, it was beloved, and I think it got a 10 at NWR, too.
Fair enough.
I mean, that's a lot of the reason why. I don't think it's a strong 3 seed, but it is a 3 seed.
Yeah, so
for the 10 and the 7, we got Professor Layton and the Unwound Future and New Super Mario Brothers Wii. I think New Super Mario Brothers Wii is going to take it, but I love me some Unwound Future.
Yes. Unwound Future is definitely my favorite Layton game so far. I haven't actually played Azurite Legacies yet, but
yeah.
Again, it boils down to, for whatever reason, the new Super Mario games, they seem to have more of a hate than maybe we give them credit for, so I actually had Layton coming out here and then losing to Advance Wars.
Yeah, I think Nintendo Land is one of those games that made it in because 2012 was kind of weak, but I think it'll lose to Advance Wars, and I think Advance Wars has a pretty good shot to make it to the Elite Eight. I think that there's a lot of people missing that series now, and I think the fact that it is in this tournament might get people thinking about that series again, but there's no way in hell it beats Galaxy.
Absolutely not, unless somebody hacks the forums, there's no way Galaxy loses.
Yeah, I think it'll be Galaxy and Prime. Right now we have our predicted Final Fours is, you know, well, you think it'll be Melee, Xenoblade, and Galaxy, and I think it'll be Metroid Prime, Xenoblade, and Galaxy.
Yeah. I think we'll probably be equal on the Hyrule region as well.
I think this one's way more wide open. Now, maybe not necessarily wide open, but I think that there's a couple close matchups here that could make this interesting. In the Hyrule division, it kind of worked out nicely. The number one seed is Wind Waker. The number two is Skyward Sword. Number three is Galaxy 2. And number four is Super Smash Bros. Brawl. And I think that any of those teams, or any, well, I think Skyward Sword will not make it. I think Skyward Sword could go far, but I think it could get down to Galaxy 2 versus Wind Waker. And I think the only reason why Wind Waker would win is because of the recent HD version.
Yeah, I have Wind Waker going to the Final Four, although we're probably skipping ahead here, but I actually don't have Skyward Sword making that at the first round.
Yeah, no, I can see that. Oh, we'll do it different for this region. We'll start from the bottom and go up. The 15 seed is Super Smash Bros. For the N64, and it's going up against the 2 seed Skyward Sword. And I kind of agree with you.
Yeah, it got the high seed because we have 2 10s at NWR for that, for Skyward Sword, yep. as I recall.
Yes. But I will be voting for Skyward Sword. I know that much, but I would not be surprised if Smash Brothers pulls it out.
Yeah, and that's another forum demographic issue where I think Skyward Sword finished below the Oracles when on the forum poll. So
there I mean, because when we did our Zelda list for the staff, I think Skyward Sword was like 3, but a lot of that came from, you know, there's me and a couple other people on staff that hold it in very high regard. For me, it's, well, now it would be my number 3 Zelda game. At the time, it was my number 2, right after Wind Waker. Now, Link Between Worlds and Wind Waker are my top 2 Zelda games. But there's a lot of people on staff who hold it in high regard, but I don't think that's going to translate to too many victories in the tournament.
Yeah. And I don't know, just original Smash Brothers seems like something that could pull an upset, and actually I had it going to the Sweet 16 over Pikmin.
Yeah, I think Zero Mission is going to beat Pikmin in the matchup of the 10 and the 7 seed. But that also, I mean, that really depends on how much love there is, how much love and fondness there is for the Metroid series compared to the Pikmin series. And I think there's more for the Metroid series, despite Pikmin 3 being more recent.
Yeah, I think Pikmin's recency, that and the fact that Zero Mission is an enhanced remake, but a remake nonetheless, I think Pikmin will at least pull off one victory and they'll be happy with that.
Yeah, I think Zero Mission has a chance to make it to the Sweet 16. But I actually think the pairing of the group of games that will face the winner from this little region in the Sweet 16 here, that has Pokemon Diamond Pearl at 11, which I think will get stomped by Super Mario 3D World at 6. And then we have what is looking to be Metroid Fusion as the wild card against the 3-seed Super Mario Galaxy 2. I think it'll be Galaxy 2 and 3D Land in a bloodbath that will produce the game that goes to the lead 8.
Yeah, I'm the same way. I think, well, 3D Land will walk over Diamond and Pearl, because really, I don't think Diamond and Pearl would be the best representation of that era of Pokemon to begin with. I'm more of a Platinum man, because at least that game has a good frame rate. And yeah, whatever ends up winning that wild card, they've got to face down Galaxy 2, and that's not a fight you're going to win.
Yeah,
I've got Galaxy 2 into the Elite Eight at least.
Yeah, I mean, I think that Galaxy, whoever wins from Galaxy 2 and 3D Land is facing Wind Waker in the finals. Unless Wind Waker gets upset by Super Smash Bros. Brawl, but I don't think that's going to happen. Brawl's the 4 seed going, but against the first Professor Layton in the first round, which I think it'll win handily.
I put down Professor Layton actually winning this just because I think I worry that the forums are stained enough by the memories of the bad online for Brawl.
Yeah, but there's always that handful of guys that whenever we decry the online on a podcast, it comes in and it's just like, hey, the online's still really good.
Now that it's resting in pieces in the end of May.
Yeah. We might stay tuned, guys. We might be doing some fun stuff with the Wi-Fi connection, doing some community nights as it wraps up.
So, I think you're right, though. I think Brawl advances. But it actually, I have it losing to the winner of the 5-12.
Yeah, which is Donkey Kong Jungle Beat at a 12 and Punch Out for Wii at a 5, which is another 5 seed that's inflated by me giving it a 10. I think Jungle Beat's going to beat Punch Out as much as I love it, although I would love to be in a world where Punch Out wins that matchup.
Yeah, I think EAD Tokyo has a real unfair advantage in this tournament, namely.
But, I mean, it was weird because when we determined what games were going to make it, Jungle Beat was like the last one in from its year. It was very nearly out, and I was really surprised. And I think what it is that while everyone loves EAD Tokyo, I don't think that many people play Jungle Beat in comparison to Galaxy 1, 2, and the 3D Land and World games.
Yeah.
And I think that goes against it, but I still think it'll beat Punch-Out, but I think it might be a hard matchup against Brawl or Professor Layton.
Yeah. Either way, it'll be hard. I think whatever wins that 5-12 will advance at least to the Sweet 16.
Yeah, I mean that very well could happen. We have the 9-8 game, which is basically whoever. Well, I don't think New Super Mario Bros. U is going to win that. It's going up against Star Wars Rogue Rogue Squadron 2 Rogue Leader, which I don't think we'll be able to beat Wind Waker, which is the one seed going up against Wii Sports. But it might put up a good fight.
Yeah, Rogue Leader will probably do very well against Mario U. I'm underestimating what Wind Waker can do against it in the second round, but I think you're right. It could be closer than I'm giving it credit for.
Yeah. So then, are we agreeing that Wind Waker is going to win this region?
Wind Waker's going to win the region, but it's going to be one hell of a fight with Galaxy 2 at the end.
Yeah. I mean, I think it would be pretty crazy if Galaxy 1 and Galaxy 2 were going up against each other in the Final Four. But... So now we get to the Final Four, and the only place that we differ is you think Melee is going to beat Metroid Prime.
Right.
But then we have Xenoblade, the 4 seed, Galaxy, and Wind Waker, both 1 seeds making it.
Yeah.
And I think Prime's going to beat Xenoblade, and I think Galaxy will beat Wind Waker, and I think Prime will beat Galaxy. I think it'll win it just like the game of the decade.
Yeah. I have Melee beating Xenoblade, Mario Galaxy beating Wind Waker, and then Galaxy wins the whole thing.
Yeah. I think it'll be down to Galaxy and Prime.
Yeah.
But, all right, so... Now that we're wrapping this up a little bit, I know you mentioned you looked at the seedings. What are your comments about what games got snubbed?
There was a few here that really stood out as I'm surprised that they missed. For instance, I am shocked you weren't able to get Super Monkey Ball in for 2001, even though
2001 is stacked.
Yeah.
I mean, that was the problem with that, is I think Monkey Ball was there, but it didn't really make it too far. I'm actually going to bring up the Google Doc that we had with everything, if I can find it.
Yeah, because I had three, that's the only one I have three listed for 2001 and 2010. 2001 with Monkey Ball, the Oracle Zeldas, and the original Paper Mario.
Yeah, I know that Paper Mario, I mean, that just doesn't have that much love. I think retroactively, I think Thousand Year Door is the one Paper Mario game that still gets love and support.
Yeah. See, I had for 2003, I see Prince of Persia on there, and once again, it manages to upstage Beyond Good and Evil.
Yeah, I think Beyond Good and Evil was another game that too many people didn't really play in comparison to Sands of Time. It was one of the, like, Soul Calibur 2 was the last game in that year. But Sands of Time wasn't too far behind it.
Yeah, and I think probably the one I got directly asked about on Twitter was for 2006, Mother 3.
We did not include Japanese imports.
I figured that much.
Yeah, and we were actually on the fence as whether or not we were going to include Bravely Default, but we kind of made the call at the end that by the time we did this. Not many people on staff will have even beaten it.
Yeah. I still haven't even beaten it.
I bought it. I haven't even opened it. I've been busy with moving in other games.
Yeah.
I intend to play it.
Yeah.
And when we do the 25-year tournament, I don't know, maybe it'll be in it.
Well, we'll see what happens. There, my own personal bugaboo is lack of The World Ends With You in 2008. Being Curious Village, or I am actually shocked that Mega Man 9 made it in.
Yeah, that's one of those things that I don't even feel like I can explain. 2008 was one of the weak years, and Brawl was the only slam dunk, and then everything else was very much up in the air. I was kind of shocked that there was a lot of support for Layton 1. I'll refer to that as the James Jones effect.
Yeah.
He pushed heavily for every Layton game. Only two of them got in. Mario Kart Wii was a game that I kind of fought for because I think that's the best Mario Kart game, and it's the only one that even made it in the field of 60, and just at all.
Yeah.
And then Mega Man 9, I think just there was enough people on staff when we were talking about it that just loved Mega Man.
Yeah.
The World Ends With You is a game that I really need to play.
Indeed you do, sir.
I played it years ago, did not really enjoy it, and then put it away, and I don't know if people remember. I think it was a connectivity episode, but it was an early connectivity episode, and we've been doing 130 of these. It was probably two years ago at least, where it was me, Patrick, and Scott talking about games that we thought that would become classics that were from recent memory, and they both talked up The World Ends With You a lot. So then shortly after that, I bought it. It's been 2 years. I put it in for 5 minutes because I bought a used copy to make sure that it worked.
Yeah.
It goes next to my unopened copy of Dragon Quest VI and my used copy of the second Advance Wars game. And I finally played 999 a while ago.
And I
didn't enjoy that as much as I thought I would, which is weird because I love Danganronpa.
Yes. And 2010, the other stacked year, I had 999, Trauma Team, which I'm actually shocked James Jones didn't push for that one, and Dragon Quest IX. But
Dragon Quest IX was like one of the last games out that year.
Yeah, I could see it maybe getting in over one of them getting in over Unwound Future, but you're not dislodging Epic Yarn, you're not getting rid of Galaxy 2,
DKCR is not getting out of there either. Yeah, Unwound Future was one that I fought a lot for because that is hands down the best Leighton game I've played so far. Although once again, I'm two thirds of the way through Miracle Mask, and I haven't played Azran Legacy. I've heard Azran Legacy is fantastic, but that story would have to be one of the best I've ever seen in a video game to trump Unwound Future.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because for me, I mean, the Leighton games, it's like there's a base level for quality of puzzles that everyone has met. And with each progressive entry, you know, they kind of clean up stuff over time and, you know, make the puzzle stronger. But for me, what kind of separates each one is how strong the story is. And I think, well, once again, I'm not done five. I think 3 and 4 were the two strongest stories.
I honestly don't remember the story much of 4, but I should probably go back and watch it because I still have to finish. I still have to play Azran Legacies as well.
Yeah. In number 4, I think that with Leighton 4, that it starts off where the story kind of is like dumb because it's all basically a lot of coincidences to get Luke and Leighton together. But then like the last third of that story, I think is really good.
Yeah, but like there's enough games I've got listed here that, like I said, I might just throw an FRIT in the forums, just have the rest of the snubs, maybe the wild.
I would very much enjoy that. I would support that.
Yeah, I'll wait.
You can put it in my new March Madness child board that I made on TalkBack.
Oh, excellent.
So it'll make it so that way when 32 polls go up, it doesn't take over the forums that much.
Yeah, I'll put what I have down there, and hopefully maybe there's some games that even I forgot when going through the list. But
yeah. we could call it out. If you're listening to this and you think there was a game that got snubbed from our list, send it in to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And if there is the NFRIT, then I'll pass it on to Donald to include it.
Yeah. Well, hopefully I did a good enough job picking out the ones, but I think there's enough there that we can probably stretch this to 32 and and run it at the same time, just like the regular NIT does.
That would be pretty funny. I can't really think of too many other snubs for me. I'm surprised Mutant Muds, given the staff's love for that game.
Yeah.
But I think that was just another victim of a pretty strong year. Although Nintendo Land made it that year. Like, really?
Thank you for saying
that.
Just
because everyone played it.
Yeah. And we have four or five reviews for Nintendo Land because of the way you guys.
No, there was only one. That was because I was smart and made sure that we had four people on one review.
Okay. Yeah. Because 2012, I know what game I'd put in there, but I'd be the only one to pick Virtue's Last Reward.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's... I didn't like 999. I didn't finish it, but I think I might just skip it and go to Virtue's Last Reward.
Yeah.
I've heard that's okay to do.
Well, now that they've got if you've got the appropriate smartphone, they're putting out the novel version. I think it is something you at least need to play the ending sequence of because it does use the DS in a way that really only the likes of Canvas Curse could approach.
It does make me want to try that again. But yeah, that's our March Madness going through everything. We'll probably get together and maybe actually have Zach Miller or another person on and discuss it when it gets near its conclusion. I think this is going to be a really interesting thing, and I think I think that our predictions for the Final Four aren't really going to be too far off. I think what's going to be interesting is a lot of the early games and what games kind of sneak into the, you know, the round of 16 or the round of 8.
Yeah. And I think the statistic I'm most interested in is seeing how many people get banned in the forums over it.
It could be bloody.
Yeah, I've got the over under on.
Be fun.
Yeah, over under 2.5 just on the Xenoblade Ogre battle matchup.
Yeah, it's gonna be a knockdown dragout fight. I can't wait. And it's gonna start. Actually, the first round will probably be over by the time you hear this, because it's running from Wednesday, March 12th to I think the end of the 15th. So hurry, listen to this quickly, and then vote. If not, then vote in the round of 32.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for listening. On behalf of me and Donald, I hope you enjoyed this, and let us know what you think. If you have any, what's your take on the March Madness tournament? Send us some listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Don't forget, you can send your listener mail to connectivity@nintendoworldreport.com. And if you've got a moment, please rate and review the show on iTunes. Another thing I want to mention real quick, the entire podcasting industry is currently being assaulted by patent trolls, which really sucks. Basically, these jerks own some patents, and they sue people, and they expect them to settle out of court, and that's how they make all their money. They don't really do anything. They just own this patent and use it to generate profit. So they're pretty evil. Please visit fundanything.com/patent troll, and you can learn about the Podcast Legal Defense Fund. Some podcasters have joined together, and they are fighting them in court, so hopefully we can get it stopped forever and your favorite podcasts won't have to end. Thanks again.